This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. My wonderful co-host, Dana Lake, will be returning next week. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. Set your dials and tune in. We're here every week trying to bring you the latest and greatest related to health and wellness, and today is absolutely no exception. I thank you all for tuning in and hope that you've enjoyed our previous shows. Did a great show a couple weeks ago with Mary Shulman, who is a New York Times bestselling author on hypothyroid disorders. Last week, did a wonderful show with Dr. Joseph Lamb, who is a medical doctor specializing in holistic medicine, and we talked about osteoarthritis. Today, we're going to be talking about a really important topic, the slippery slope of medical birth, and I have a great special guest to discuss it. If you're interested in listening to any of our previously recorded shows, you can always go to the Village Green website, our show sponsor, which is at www.myvillagegreen.com. And on the right-hand side of the homepage, there's a microphone icon. If you click on that, it will take you to our archive show section where you can download and listen to any of our previously recorded shows for absolutely free. So it's a great resource. Please take advantage of it. Today, we're going to be talking with Dr. Tanya Howard, and we're talking about what we discussed, or what I mentioned, as the slippery slope of medical birth. And we're going to be talking about what that really means. Really, what we're going to be driving at are some of the incredibly high rates of C-section in our country. And there's been a little bit more of attention turned to this, and how we can work from a holistic perspective and work with moms and educate people to really make it so that the births are less medical intervention. Less medical intervention with birth, in most instances, leads to quicker recovery time, healthier moms, and healthier babies. Now, of course, a medical intervention is necessary in some births and in some circumstances, but we've gotten really twisted up in quite a weird model, or quite a perverse model, in that so many births are over medically managed. And Dr. Tanya is going to really explain to us the nuts and bolts of this and educate you on, you know, how to make the best possible chances of not having your birth be over medical intervention. So who is Dr. Tanya? Dr. Tanya is a native of New Jersey. She decided to become a chiropractor at the age of 15 when she experienced a complete metamorphosis in her health after seeking chiropractic care for an injury. She completed her undergraduate work at Pepperdine University in Malibu, California, and her doctorate at Life Chiropractic College in Atlanta, Georgia. In private practice for over 20 years, she is the founder of Broadneck Family Chiropractic, where she practices with two amazing partners who make it possible for her to take her message on the road with her saucy lifestyle blog, which you can find at www.drtanya.com. Before kids, Dr. Tanya has a really interesting history. Hollywood came calling, and she enjoyed providing chiropractic health care on movie sets. She worked on sets like Tuck Everlasting, Ladder 49, The Replacements, and many others, and behind the scenes at live shows like David Copperfield. She's been profiled in Washington Post magazine and other trade and regional publications. A chiropractic lifestyle has helped her to stay fit and healthy enough to become a triathlete and marathoner at the ripe age of 40, though she admits to being a yoga convert. She lives in Annapolis with her three true loves, her husband, Braden, and her daughters, Francesca and Julia, all of which I know. Dr. Tanya, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Thank you for that very warm welcome, although I don't know that 40 qualifies as ripe anymore.
Yeah, I meant to say the young age of 40.
I like that better.
Yeah, I do. I know, because I'm pushing it too, and I certainly don't feel ripe. So let's talk about, let's do some intro to this topic, Dr. Tanya. I mean, you know, I'd love for you to just throw out some stats and really set the stage for why we're even having a show about, you know, the slippery slope of medical birth. What is going on in our country with medical births? And then we can get into the nuts and bolts of how this process unfolds and how we can sort of use strategies to under-medicalize births?
I am happy to do so. There is a raging epidemic of surgical births in this country, Dr. Becerro.
And when you say surgical births, you basically mean C-section.
I do mean C-section. And we'll talk a little later about other types of medical intervention, but primarily right now we're talking about cesarean section. Current rates are somewhere between 33% and 36% of all births are done via cesarean section, either emergent or planned. Now, emergent births are those in which mom or baby's life is at risk. Baby's heart rate is dropping, mother's blood pressure spikes, and absolutely positively, those babies need to be born by C-section ASAP. No one would argue that statistic. Now, the World Health Organization says that comprises just about 10% of all births. So that seems realistic then that we might have about a 10% cesarean section rate. And like I just said, we have a 33 to 36% cesarean section rate. The World Health Organization also states that any rate over 15% is to be considered to do more harm than good. And I say that very slowly, and I'll say it again. Any C-section rate over 15% is considered to do more harm than good. And at 33 to 36% in this country, I think we're creating a lot of problems that are very, very unnecessary.
So can we talk about, you know, when we start getting into C-section rates above 15%, you know, there's really great experts out there saying that we're doing more harm than good. What is the harm that we're getting into when we start getting C-section rates over that 15% mark?
Well, the most obvious harm is that this is a major abdominal surgery and has all of those inherent risks like infection, bleeding, anesthesia, and scar tissue. So women who have C-sections rarely do not have complications, either immediately or down the road when they're starting to get abdominal adhesions and colon adhesions and scar tissue from the prior C-sections. So those risks are inherent with any surgical procedure. So if you don't have to have it, if it's not urgent or emergent, then why would you subject yourself to that? Or why would a doctor subject a woman to that? So those are the very known and very common complication rates. And then we look at the complication rate or danger to baby. And again, if a baby is in distress, I don't challenge for one second that he or she needs to be born immediately via C-section. But the great majority of these babies are not in immediate risk at all. It's typically due to either a planned cesarean section because of the prior, and we'll talk about something called VBAC, vaginal birth after cesarean, later on in the show, or they're due to a malposition. So like a breech baby or a transverse baby is not well positioned to come out vaginally under traditional approaches, although with chiropractic, babies do very often turn head down. So these babies who have not been given the opportunity to turn are then born via a scheduled cesarean section. They're not in any health danger at all. It's just the easier way out for the OB to address with the mom. So there is a real need in an emergent situation for babies to be born via C-section. Most of them are not emergent. So then when you have a baby that is healthy otherwise and could and should have been born vaginally that has taken cesarean section, there are two major issues at risk here. Actually, there's more than two, but I'll talk about the two main ones. When a baby passes through the birth canal, the actual contraction of the mom's uterus and vagina performs two very, very important functions. Number one, it stimulates respiration by literally squeezing the air or the amniotic fluid out of the baby's lungs. And I've been through hundreds of births, so I've seen a baby's head emerge. And with the next contraction, I'll see fluid actually come out of the baby's nose and mouth. So that clearing of the respiration center is critical in baby having a healthy respiratory system for the rest of their life. So if they're born via C-section, they have no chance of that opportunity to clear their lungs like that, which is why those babies tend to have higher rates of respiratory issues, allergies, asthma, bronchitis, et cetera. Secondly, the massaging of the baby through the birth canal stimulates a craniosacral pump. And I'll do my best to describe this short and sweet. There is a closed system in your brain and spinal cord. Your brain and spinal cord are surrounded by membranes called meninges, and inside is cerebrospinal fluid, CSF fluid. And that's there for nutrition for the brain and also to take away waste products. And it flows, and it should flow when your skull and your sacrum or your tailbone pump. So if you think about a stagnant pond that doesn't have a flow in or out of water, that water becomes really funky really quickly. But if you have a stream running through a pond, that water stays nice and fresh. So the vaginal contraction stimulates that pump in a baby. And again, if they're born via C-section, that pump is not stimulated. So that CSF then becomes very stagnant very quickly. And baby can suffer some seemingly unrelated health issues like colic, ear infections, again, asthma, constipation. So it's really sad to see sick babies dealing with these health issues that are, in my opinion, quite unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would agree. And there's lots of other things that we're still exploring, you know, the research on when it comes to cesarean. There are some preliminary research discussing, you know, babies born via C-section having higher rates of diabetes and obesity and inflammatory bowel issues. And we're really just starting to understand the whole aspect of the microflora in the system. But we know that babies born via C-section, when you look at their microflora assays of their GI system, they're not necessarily what is considered to be the healthiest flora, because as the baby's coming down the birth canal, the flora of the vaginal canal is very similar to the flora of the GI canal. And that is the baby's first chance to get inoculated with those bacteria because the gut has been sterile. And I know it seems kind of gross and people think, oh, my gosh, bacteria, we don't want that. Let's do it C-section so everything's nice and clean and sterile. But the reality is that's not how our bodies were designed to work. And we now know that not having a good flora in the GI system puts people at higher risk for things like obesity, allergies, inflammatory bowel disease issues, inflammatory issues. There's some research suggesting people who aren't exposed to as much bacteria at a young age have a higher risk of heart disease later in life because of higher inflammatory risk. It's a part of the immune development. And when we look at C-section babies that are born in a very sterile environment, they don't get that inoculation from the vaginal canal. What you oftentimes see when you look at the assay of bacteria in their gut is it matches the assay of bacteria that's typically on our skin. And that's a very, very different type of bacteria than what should exist in our GI system. So that's also a really, really important aspect of, you know, the process of birth for the baby. And then, of course, Dr. Tanya, as you discussed, the risk to the mom. It's a major abdominal surgery. You know, there's multiple interventions and it's a much longer recovery time. There's much, much higher costs. I mean, from a money perspective, let's talk about that. How much more money is it, would you say, to do a C-section on a woman versus just having a vaginal birth in a hospital setting?
Let's just say it's exponentially more. I mean, rates vary, of course, geographically throughout the country, but I would say easily we're talking about $10,000 more per case.
And
I hate to say this, you know, but money does rule. And if you have one C-section, there was a mantra, once a section, always a section.
Right.
And that does not need to be true. But if you have an OB who, you know, for whatever reason, had to perform a C-section or wanted to perform a C-section on a mom for the first baby, it's really easy for them to kind of talk to the mom into saying, well, once a C-section, always a C-section, sure. And they just tripled their income. And I would like to think, and I know that most of these are, you know, have the patient's best interest in mind, but when your bottom line looks a little fatter, it's a little easier to sway someone in that direction, I think. I mean, we're human.
Sure. So, and, you know, I mean, I think that it's really important to point out that, as you've discussed and mentioned numerous times, C-sections have a time and a place. And of course, you know, there's hundreds of women and babies that would be in jeopardy of certainly dying if we didn't have the technology we have to do C-sections. But, you know, why, if you talk to most people who went into a hospital with the intention of having a vaginal birth, and then they ended up having a cesarean section as the process progressed, they usually have the impression that if that cesarean section wasn't performed, that there was an emergency situation, you know? So how is it, and I think we should maybe save this for the next segment, because this brings up the whole cascade of events that leads oftentimes to cesareans and why we have a 30% rate in this country. You know, why is it that what seems like should be a natural process of getting a baby out of a woman that, you know, women's bodies were designed to do, to deliver a child, why is it that all of a sudden so many instances seem like all of a sudden there's a big emergency? And that's really where the issue lies. Isn't that right, Dr. Tanya?
It really does. And I think the heart of this issue lies with the fact that we really shouldn't be birthing in hospitals. You know, I will talk about the slippery slope during the next segment because it's going to take that much time to talk about it. But I think the heart of the matter, let's close with this as we take this segment to an end in a minute or two, is that hospitals are where people have emergency surgeries and they go when they have trauma or a critical health issue. It should not be where we bring a new life into the world. There's nothing sick about a pregnant mom, you know, in a healthy
right.
situation. Again, 95% of us are healthy going into labor and delivery. So I love the idea of freestanding birth centers and home births attended by qualified midwives. It's a very natural process. And when you medicalize a natural process, there are many, many consequences, a lot of which are unnecessary surgical births.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly, you know, we can talk about all the psychology around it and the psychology around hospitals. And I think many women, you know, are understandably very fearful of the birthing process and not certainly understanding and feel much safer in a hospital environment, but it does lead to a cascade of events that oftentimes leads to cesarean. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about when we get back. And we're going to detail, you know, what pretty much is a standard protocol or a standard experience that a woman will experience going into a hospital for a birth, and how the cascades that are all normal that we wouldn't think would lead up to a cesarean oftentimes result in just that end result. So this is Dr. Kevin Fassero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. We're going to be back right after this break with Dr. Tanya Howard talking about over-medicalization of medical births.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet. Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of FitFood, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of FitFood contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCT. FitFood provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Fassero. Thank you all for tuning in. I'm here with Dr. Tanya Howard, and we're discussing the slippery slope of medical birth. And in the last segment, we really introduced this idea of how in our country, we have some of the highest rates of cesarean section in the developed world, over 30%. And most statistics done by World Health Organization experts say that you start to experience some significant harm when C-section rates get over 15%. Dr. Tanya, can you also talk a little bit about, you know, I mean, we have this idea that, you know, our medical care is so great in this country and we do such a good job with delivering babies, and we are always, the doctors are always rushing in, you know, with their superhero capes at the last minute to deliver babies via cesarean. And we assume that because of that, we must have amazing rates of infant survival and mother health because we have all this medicalization. Is that in fact true?
No, nothing could be further from the truth. We have some of the poorest rates of fetal morbidity and mortality and maternal as well, which is totally counterintuitive when you consider that we have more resources financially, academically, and professionally and clinically than any place else in the world. We're consistently among the highest in our resources and the lowest in our outcomes.
Right.
So something is desperately wrong.
Right. So, I mean, when you look at that contradictory point, it's like, we would think, because we're led to believe that medicalization and having doctors in a hospital environment and all these resources and doing surgeries to rush in and save these babies and save these moms, and we have all these interventions, you would think that we have such great fetal survival and we save so many babies, but really we're not. So is it possible that by over-medicalizing this process of birth, we're actually creating more harm? I mean, it certainly seems to be with the actual raw numbers and data. This isn't even opinion. This is just data is telling us.
Yeah, I feel that it's not only possible, that it's quite probable, Dr. Passero.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly what a lot of people would believe. So let's talk about, you know, what we want to go through a woman's typical experience. She's wasn't planning a C-section. It's her first baby or her second baby. She didn't have a C-section before, and she's planning a vaginal hospital birth. And basically, you know, the process starts. I want you to take us through the average process from beginning to end and what interventions along that road oftentimes increase the chances that that woman is going to end up having that baby delivered via a cesarean.
So I think most of your listeners would agree, Dr. Passero, that we don't hope to have a C-section. We all hope to have the quintessential vaginal birth experience. And so a mom's at home and she's been anticipating this and perhaps has even written a birth plan that that lays out exactly how she would love for her birth to go. And then she goes into labor. So either her water breaks or she starts having contractions. And usually the first phone call at the first contraction or when the water breaks is to her OB or midwife. And we're going to make the assumption here that this is a hospital birth. So immediately she's told, you know, well, come on in, and which, by the way, I think is too early. I think you should labor at home, and that's maybe a topic for another day. But they're immediately told to proceed to the hospital. So they show up at the hospital, and immediately they're stripped of anything that makes them human. Their jewelry's taken away. Their clothing. They're put into a gown that has most of their rear end hanging out, and they're put to bed. Now, that is a great place to sleep. It's a horrible place to give birth. So immediately the woman is put to bed, often on her back. And I have to just chuckle because every OB and midwife that I know tells their patients, sleep any way you wish, just not on your back. Because a baby in a full-term uterus can weigh, 15 to 20 pounds or more. And that much weight, when you lie on your back, can compress the blood vessels and nerve supply to the uterus, both of which are incredibly important for health and well-being of baby and the labor and delivery process. But now we're in labor, and all of a sudden, it's exactly where we want you to be, on your back. And I say that facetiously because I don't want the patient to be like that. But the hospital mandates it because the process, the medical procedure of birth, is much more easy to manage when mom's in a gown on her back in bed. Mm-hmm. So now the labor that started naturally is now sometimes halt, sometimes stalls. And the woman's in bed, and she's more uncomfortable because she's lying on her back. And labor has now slowed down. And they say, well, let's get you pitted. And pitted is kind of a shorthand word for let's administer some Pitocin, which is a hormone that's injected that stimulates uterine contractions. Let's get this labor jump started, they'll say. Let's control it since it seems to have stalled. They caused it to stall, but let's get it restarted. Let's get it restarted.
Mm-hmm.
So Pitocin causes very different contractions than your body would naturally have. Your body has rhythmic contractions that mimic peristalsis. And that's kind of, if you ever see a snake eat a rat, how it slowly moves down the snake's body.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you know how food moves through the gut, how the muscle of the gut kind of pushes food through. Well, the uterus should contract rhythmically like that and start at the top and work its way down to the bottom to push baby out. That's a beautiful contraction that's natural that builds an intensity and frequency until baby is born. Well, a Pitocin-induced contraction is what we call tetanic, where it's like tetany or lockjaw. The whole uterus contracts at once. It doesn't build. It starts really hard from the beginning, so it doesn't wax and wane. It just comes on hard and leaves abruptly, and that is very, very, very painful. Did you get that? Very painful? more painful and less tolerable than a natural contraction that your body would have on its own. So now the mom's in bed with a stalled labor with the first intervention, which is Pitocin, and which definitely now requires internal fetal monitoring because they need to monitor the baby's heart rate through these, horrifically intense contractions. So now, quite likely, they'll insert an electrode in the baby's skull, which means it'll go up your vagina into the baby's skull with this little wire electrode. Or if you're lucky, they'll only put you on constant fetal monitoring with a belt from the outside. So now you're definitely not getting out of bed because now you've got an IV and you've got Pitocin and now you've got a monitor. So now there's no chance of you walking through labor or sitting on a birth ball or getting in a tub or changing position. Maybe you could walk from side to side a little bit, but most women do not. Leads me to my next intervention. And please, I know I'm, you know, going rather quickly.
No, you're doing great.
Have any questions.
Yep.
So now the woman's in bed and she's in pain and she's immobilized. And if she doesn't request an epidural anesthesia procedure on her own, you can be assured that every nurse or doctor that's come in that room has said, are you ready for your epidural yet? Mm-hmm. Are you ready for your epidural yet? And I can't tell you how many moms who have really wanted natural birth who have succumbed only because they've been asked 25 times if they wanted their epidural. You know, labor can hurt under the best of circumstances. And so someone keeps offering you pain relief. At some point, you're going to say, yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
But the person on Pitocin that's bedridden is clearly going to, you know, not always, but the great majority of the time is going to ask for epidural anesthesia.
Sure, because they're on their back, which is oftentimes going to produce more pain. They can't move around. And number two, we've administered a drug that significantly intensifies the contraction and will likely intensify pain. So go ahead.
Absolutely. So now they're, you know, literally rolled onto their side or into a sitting position, which is really uncomfortable with all those wires attached. And you have a catheter inserted into your spinal cord. It's a pretty wide bore catheter to administer anesthesia to your spinal cord. And that in itself leads to a whole host of other postnatal complications, like an epidural headache, scar tissue, chronic lower back pain. So that's, you know, that's kind of after the fact. Let's stick with the birth process. So now you're numb from the waist down. And now you don't hurt anymore, but you can't even move your leg. So, you know, you're numb, but you can still suffer from different pain, from lack of, you know, if you lay on one part on your arm, it gets numb and it hurts at night. Those same sensations can happen when you lie on the nerves to your legs in a medicated birth because you're not alleviating any pressure on the blood vessels. You can have pain and discomfort from that, even though you're numb, which is kind of like a double whammy there. You're numb, but you hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So that often, that epidural anesthesia will often calm the mom down mentally, but it often stalls the labor again because there's no feedback. If you have pain with labor, your body produces endorphins, which protect mom from pain, and it also protects baby from pain. Now, they chemically suppress pain messages, and mom might not feel pain, but there's no evidence at all that baby doesn't feel that increased pain. And I believe that baby does feel that pain in utero when the mom has an epidural. So now labor stalls, and they increase the Pitocin. And now they want baby to be born, because now baby is quite likely in a little bit of distress from the hard contractions, from all the medications that are administered, and mom being on her back. And the doctor starts coming in more frequently, looking a little nervous, saying, you know, we really need to get this labor moving along. So let's see if you can try pushing whether or not you're fully dilated at 10 centimeters. So the mom starts pushing. Now, let me get a little graphic and use a little bathroom humor, Dr. Pissarro. If I numbed you from the waist down, made you lie on your back and put your feet up in the air, and said, have a bowel movement on demand, how successful would you be?
Yeah, probably not very.
Right. Not at all. So we've got these poor moms that are in this very vulnerable position, legs up in the air, bright light shining on them, numb from the waist down, and someone says, push. And I can tell you, I've seen some beautiful pushes in the face of the woman. You can make some great faces as you're trying to push, but nothing's happening from the waist down. There's no feedback. If you can't feel your perineum, your vagina, how can you know that you're pushing something out of it? It's totally counterintuitive. So at this point, and also the birth canal is uphill. We didn't mention that little anatomical fact. When a woman's on her back with her legs up, the birth canal is uphill. So there's not even one smidge of gravity that's assisting this baby to come down the birth canal. So then the doctor and the nurses say, you know, this is looking a little dicey here. You know, baby's not descending through the birth canal. Mom's not pushing effectively. Maybe the heart rate's a little wonky, a little stressed. We're going to have to help this baby along. So out comes the vacuum extraction device. And that's where they put a huge suction cup on the baby's head and pull really hard. And I have been to birth, and, you know, I've cut open dead people. You know, I've done cadaver lab, and not a lot grosses me out. But to see a full-grown male doctor put both feet on the side of the delivery bed and pull with all his body weight to pull a baby out, it's really, really scary to me. Our necks as adults were designed to withstand a type of axial traction or pulling pressure, and certainly babies were not. So that may or may not work. Often I find that it doesn't work because, again, mom's on the back and she's not assisting, and babies weren't meant to be pulled out. They're meant to be pushed out. So they might come in with a salad tongs, I call them. They're metal forceps, and they're clamped around baby's head, and they have a pretty high complication rate. They can cause skull fractures and facial nerve paralysis amongst them, not uncommon. And they'll clasp these metal tongs around baby's head and pull again. And if that works and baby's born, then the whole horrific ordeal is over, but often that doesn't work either. And now baby's totally in distress because he or she is partially through the birth canal. Respiration is in trouble, heart rate's in trouble, mom's screaming bloody murder because she can tell something's wrong. And the doctor says, we need to do an emergency C-section. And he comes in with his red cape, and they wheel the mom into the operating room, and the baby is then pulled out, which in and of itself is not a gentle procedure. It requires an incredible amount of force, especially if baby is partially engaged in the birth canal, to pull the baby back out and then through a small incision. And doctor saves the day. And everyone feels like doctor and hospitals are the hero because they saved the baby from a devastating situation. When in reality, Dr. Pizarro, they caused it.
Mm-hmm.
They created the problem so that they could solve it. And, you know, I wrote an article on this very subject on my blog just last week, and so it's kind of serendipitous timing. And I had 35,000 people that engaged, which is, I don't know if you're familiar with the blogging world, that's a huge number of people that engaged in this. And of the many, many people that responded were many women who were very defensive about their quote-unquote emergency cesarean section. So I'm doing a follow-up piece on the slippery slope because I don't want to make anyone feel badly, but I want everyone to have the blinders off.
Sure.
As to why this is happening.
Well, yeah, it is an emotionally charged issue because, you know, every woman wants to make sure her ultimate goal is that she's protecting and doing the best for herself and certainly for her baby. And, you know, it's hard to, you know, get the idea that possibly, you know, an intervention was done that could have been harmful. Now, luckily, babies are resistant in the majority of cases. Babies seem to turn out just fine, even with a lot of torque and whatnot, but we don't know what the subtle effects of that can be. And I think as a chiropractor and somebody who's a little bit more aware of what birth trauma can create in kids as they get older, you know, we might have a whole different discussion about some of those possibilities. But it is important to take the blinders off, and it is important to realize that in many other countries, the births are much less medicalized and infant survival rate is better. It would be one thing if we were looking at data that was saying, you know, fine, if you go somewhere and cesarean rates go down to below 10%, and you know all these women are having natural births, and it's a totally different process, and they're birthing at home. But yeah, you know the downside is that you know fetal morbidity and mortality is way higher. So you know it's this trade-off. But the reality is that it's not. It's actually safer for mom and baby, or at least that's what the data is showing us, to under-medicalize birth and to let women's bodies go through the process. And that does bring up whole other issues about you know the fear around giving birth. And the amount of comfort that women get from the idea of being in a hospital setting and having access to things, particularly like the epidural. I think that's probably women aren't so tied to the idea of having access to Pitocin or having access to some of those other things. But the idea of having access to the epidural, understandably, is very comforting for a lot of women because of the fear of the pain associated with childbirth, which I'm not trying to discount or undermine. But, you know, I think we need to have a thoughtful discussion about what is best for babies and mom and put it in a different perspective. So when we come back from the break, Dr. Tanya, that's what I would love for you to do. Talk about, you know, what are the steps we can put in place and what is a much better scenario? How is this supposed to happen? And help us understand, you know, how to take a woman through a birth in the natural way and how it doesn't have to be something that we fear so much and why it might be better for mom and baby. Does that sound like something good to cover in the next segment?
Can't wait to talk about it.
Okay, great. All right, everybody, this is Dr. Kevin Pizarro with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this break.
Did you know at Village Green, we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more. That's right. In addition to our other big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle today and every day. At Village Green, we've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living products for over 45 years. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acid offalus, 900% more. Get acid offalus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acid offalus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember, Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorn Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's Vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. Thank you all for tuning in. I am your host, Dr. Kevin Passero. It is my pleasure to be here with you today. We're talking with Dr. Tanya Howard. She is a chiropractor with 20 years of experience in practicing chiropractic medicine and has a huge amount of experience treating pregnant women and babies, and is really helping us understand the slippery slope of medical birth. And, you know, we're covering a lot of really controversial and a lot of emotionally charged topics. But I encourage you, even if you are sort of, you know, grating your teeth and being defensive about a process that may have happened with your body or with the birth of your child or even yourself that you're wondering about, we're not trying to be critical. We're just trying to open up an area of conversation that clearly needs to be opened up just from looking at the straight statistics. And the straight statistics that we've mentioned numerous times is that the United States has cesarean rates of 30% or a little bit higher. And we know from looking at expert data that 15% or higher cesarean rates in any one area or country is significantly increasing risk of harm. And in addition, there's huge medical costs associated with it, and there oftentimes is a better way to birth. Now, just so people want to know, if you want to learn more about Dr. Tanya, you can read her recent blog that was really exactly on this topic by going to www.drtania.com. So that's www.drtania.com, T-A-N-I-A. So, Dr. Tanya, thank you so much for being on with us today.
It is my absolute pleasure, and I get so passionate about the subject because I see so many moms and babies that have had unnecessary injury and health issues secondary to unnecessary cesarean sections and birth intervention. And it breaks my heart when I know that maybe something could have been done differently.
Yeah. So let's talk about the process. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to undermine the issue that women go through. I mean, and I'm particularly defensive about it because I'm a man, and a lot of people can look at me and say, you know, listen, you've never known what it's like to be pregnant and to have this idea of giving birth. And I certainly don't, and I don't pretend to know it, but I certainly know enough women that have made it through natural childbirth, including my wife. We have two beautiful, healthy babies. And I was with her, you know, obviously the entire time for each one of our natural births, which were done in a birthing center. And I watched the process of her laboring and delivering. But even in those instances, you know, there were times where things seemed like they could have been a challenge, but we were able to work through them. And, you know, I mean, my philosophy for my wife was basically, you know, whatever route you choose is fine with me because I'm not the one that has to have the baby. So even though I'm a naturopathic doctor and more holistically minded, I let her know that she could make the choice if she wanted a hospital, an epidural, a birthing center. I just asked her to please explore all the options and she could make a decision on her own. And, you know, I think it's important for women to have that. But tell us, Dr. Tanya, I mean, what can a natural birth look like? How should it progress? And how do you help coach women who are fearful of, you know, the birthing process and are taking comfort in the idea of being in a more medical setting, not only for pain management, but with the idea of, oh my gosh, what if something goes wrong if I'm at home or at a birthing center, you know, and something goes wrong, what's going to happen?
Because that is the biggest fear about, you know, could I be in danger, or more importantly, could my baby be in danger if I do this outside of a hospital setting?
Okay, well, first of all, Dr. Becerro, most complications of childbirth can be anticipated and or handled very effectively at home with a qualified midwife or in a birthing center. My girl's dad is an engineer, and when we interviewed the birth center, he looked at all of their stats and facts and figures and felt really comfortable with their ability to detect conditions or situations that might lead to a complication, mm-hmm. and also to respond to unanticipated complications such as hemorrhage or fetal distress. So he did all that legwork for me, and I just intuitively felt right. So the complication issue should be addressed head-on with your caregiver, with your potential caregiver, whether it's a midwife or an OB, and you need to have your questions answered to your satisfaction, for sure. But I am 100% confident that the outcomes of home or birth center births are if nothing, better than a hospital birth. So that was a non-issue for me.
Yeah, and I think the important part, I mean, not to keep going back to, you know, my own example, but these are, you know, experiences is, you know, we went to, before we made a decision, we explored every option. We went to a traditional OB practice. We you know, got versed on what the process would be like. And then we went to a couple birthing centers, and we decided what was comfortable for us. Most people don't ever make it to that step. So it is important to at least explore what the options are.
Yeah, I think a lot of women just make the assumption that, oh, well, we all go to the hospital to have a baby. When, you know, I think through education, hopefully, we're expanding their horizons, that there are more options for a healthy pregnancy as far as places to birth. So I think that's a huge step in having a less likely chance that you'll end up with a medicalized birth is to have it outside the hospital, for sure. But I'd like to speak to the pain or the fear of the pain. And like you mentioned, my partners and I have a very large perinatal and pediatric chiropractic practice. And I'll have many women come in, and I have to chuckle, and I say this to their face, so I'm not being hypocritical. They'll come in with, you know, 4-inch stilettos, talking about how they just ran an ultra marathon and coming from their Brazilian bikini wax, and the next breath say that they're afraid of the pain of childbirth. And I have had worn 4-inch stilettos and run a marathon and had a bikini wax, and I can tell you all three of those situations are exponentially more painful and uncomfortable than having a baby, to me. It's not pain like someone's beating you with an iron skillet. It is natural, tolerable, manageable pain when allowed to unfold naturally. So I call these women out very quickly saying, are you kidding me? You just had a Brazilian bikini wax and you don't want to push your baby out? You know, you're really barking up the wrong tree, because I'm gonna tell you the truth here. And you're training for a marathon that makes your toenails pop off and your feet bleed and your hips hurt. And, you know, it's a really rigorous, difficult process, and it's painful, but it's pain with a purpose, as is having a baby. So we're often able to open our patients' eyes to the potential for their bodies to handle difficult things that bring discomfort, such as childbirth. So we've converted, and I don't want to talk anyone into having a natural birth that isn't ready for it, but I think when presented with the facts and information and options for delivery, they often will say, wow, you know, I never realized that. I never thought of it quite like that. Everyone just tells you how bad it hurts, mm-hmm. but not that it's purposeful pain, and not that it's manageable pain, and not ever equated to the fact that they trained for marathon or triathlon or wore 4-inch shields every day, all day long.
Mm-hmm.
So the pain, and I have had two births, and so I can speak from a first-person perspective. My first labor with Francesca was 38 hours unmedicated in a birthing center, and it was really hard. I mean, the name labor is really appropriate for the process of childbirth. It is work, but I was able to manage that much pain for that length of time because I wasn't tethered to a bed. And in mm-hmm. fact, I laid down for exactly one contraction with Francesca and about levitated off the bed.
Yeah.
And I said, good God. If I was made to lie down, I would absolutely have been begging for an epidural and a C-section because I couldn't tolerate it. Your body is not meant to labor lying down on your back.
Yep.
So
yeah, it was
the same
exact situation with my wife. She lay down for a minute in the birthing tub, and being on the back even for a minute, it was 30 seconds and she was back up, and neither
yeah.
labor was done. And I will have to tell you, speaking to chiropractic, you know, between the first birth and the second birth, my wife received a huge amount of chiropractic care and balancing her body and her musculoskeletal system. And the second birth was a much smoother process than the first birth.
Yeah, yeah, chiropractic, definitely. If your structure is appropriate and aligned properly, and a baby's head should fit like a lock and like a key in a lock with mom's pelvis. I love that analogy because I can see it in my head. And if mom's hips are misaligned, baby can't go vertex or head down in the perfect appropriate position to stimulate and proceed with the normal natural labor. So chiropractic care for mom is, I think, critical in giving you the best chance to have a vaginal birth. So we recommend that all of our pregnant patients get checked on the same frequency as they would go to their OB or midwife. So once a month in the beginning of pregnancy, twice a month in the middle, and then once a week towards the end. Mm-hmm. And that's if everything is going beautifully. If mom is having some back pain or headaches or carpal tunnel syndrome, which are really, really common in pregnancy, then that frequency may change, but still it's even more important for mama to see a chiropractor then. So mm-hmm. I think chiropractic care is a really important factor in ensuring the best chance for a natural labor and delivery. Mm-hmm. But back to the process. So, and I'm going to use myself as an example because I think it demonstrates how one could tolerate even an abnormally long labor without medication. I stayed at home for a good portion of my labor with Francesca. My water never broke, but my labor increased in frequency and intensity over the course of those 38 hours. Like I said, I never went into bed except for that one contraction. I spent most of my time walking, leaning against the wall. I actually enjoyed being in a tub, mostly on my hands and knees. I had a nice big tub at home, and they rent labor tubs if you don't have a nice deep bathtub, so that's really easy to have in your own home or at a birthing center. I spent some time sitting on an exercise ball that produced some counter pressure to my perineum, so it kind of encouraged baby's head down a little bit. And I actually was allowed to eat and drink. And that's another thing that we didn't talk about in the hospital. The minute you walk through those doors, you know, any food or drink is prohibited in case you need to do a quote-unquote emergency cesarean section. And 38 hours with no food or drink would put me in a really vulnerable state. I would have no energy to push, I'm quite sure. I'd be starving and I'd be probably dehydrated without a significant IV. So I certainly didn't want to have a pepperoni pizza, nor did my midwife encourage that. But I ate a lot of juicy watermelon and lots of water, and I sucked on a fruit juice pop. And it just felt really nice to listen to my body's cues of thirst and hunger, which is perfectly appropriate. And I just, you know, went with my body. If it felt good to stand, I stood. If it felt good to kneel down on my hands and knees, I did that. If it felt good to get in the bath, I did that. So empowering a woman to listen to her body's own internal cues is a huge part. So surrendering any control of the labor and letting the mom allow it to unfold as it presents itself to her. You know, I would have sworn that I would have had my babies in the bathtub. I in my birth plan, I wanted a water birth. I loved being in a tub. It felt great to be in a tub during labor. And with both of my girls, the second I got the urge to push, I stood up, stepped out, and birthed in a half squat onto the floor. And no one could have told me that, nor could I have planned that or requested that. My body just said up and out now. And it was not even a conscious thought. I just got up, stepped out of the tub, the midwife got on the floor underneath me and caught both of my girls. But I was allowed to have that. I was allowed to follow my gut instinct that the birth process was better for me with gravity out of the tub and, standing with a half squat.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't need to get more complicated than that. There's no rules. There's no timeline. There's no formula for a perfect natural birth. It's just giving mom and dad, because they're partners in this, and caregiver, you know, the opportunity to allow this labor to unfold safely and in a comfortable environment. You know, midwives checked my baby's heart rate very regularly, but mm-hmm. I didn't have anything strapped to me or in me. So
sure.
I knew the baby's heart rate was fine. I was feeling great. My vitals were great. And they said, let's just let this happen. And so Francesca was 38 hours. Julia, I got to the birth center with my second daughter, Julia, at noon, and I had her at 1 o'clock.
Mm. I think that's what every woman hopes for.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's just important to share those experiences and to, you know, let everybody know how many women do successfully deliver at a birthing center with a healthy mom and healthy babies, and how, as just as you said, with the right type of prenatal care and the right type of evaluation from a qualified provider, you can anticipate most problems with birth. And the issues that you can't anticipate are ones that usually can be managed at the birthing center. And it's, you know, the safety rates that are tied to home births and births at birthing center are actually quite high. And I think, you know, if people start to understand that, yes, you know, there is some comfort in knowing a hospital situation that you're going to get an epidural, and I can understand women's fear around the birthing process and the fear of the pain. But if we can let people know that there's a significant benefit to that, you know, I mean, many women say, why would I go through all that pain when I can just go to the hospital, get an epidural and have the baby out? And the reality is that, the, as you described in the previous segment of the show, the processes that go into place as soon as you get into the hospital setting start to increase the chances of more medicalization and more procedures, which always equals more risks to mom and baby. It is simply what the numbers show. The more you intervene, the more risk on an overall scale. So, you know, when you think about it from that perspective, the idea of addressing the next pregnancy and birth with a really good care plan, making sure your body is aligned, working with people, getting comfort in the idea of preparing your body for a more natural labor, I think is something that if we can really establish the idea that there's a significant benefit to it, is something that a lot of moms would be much more willing to consider. But at this point, you know, no medical doctor, no OB, nobody's talking about this idea, Dr. Tanya, right? That being in a hospital is potentially more risk.
They're not, and it's really unfortunate. And I have to say this, you know, I have some great friends who are really, really good OBs, and they do great, you know, cancer surgeries, and they actually get great prenatal care, and they take great care of a woman's reproduction in a medical paradigm. But you put that great caregiver into a hospital environment where really the doctor comes in, you know, for the last 5 minutes to catch or cut, essentially, and they even lose control of the procedures because of the administrative and nursing staff. You know, any number of whom might have great individual philosophies on supporting a natural birth, but as a system, it's not set up for that.
No,
it's just not. So even though, you know, I have great friends in obstetrics and I hope they're not feeling insulted by this discussion, because they're great doctors and they're great caregivers and they're great in the medical and, you know, in the medicine of childbirth in an emergent situation or giving good reproductive care, but they're not great in just allowing the process to unfold.
Right.
The system is simply not set up for it.
Yeah, and it's just funny. I mean, anytime anybody brings up any type of criticism over, you know, the conventional medical approaches, you know, it's considered blasphemy and you almost have to defend it, whereas people attack, you know, other types of interventions that are proven perfectly safe that are more natural all the time. So, you know, I mean, we have to sit here and with a tongue in cheek kind of say, you know, well, there's a time and place for everything. But the reality is it should be an open conversation both ways. And the things that we're discussing are not, you know, a far stretch to say that they're oftentimes safer and very safe for mom and baby. So when we come back from the break, we're going to be wrapping up this conversation. Dr. Tanya is going to give us some really take-home messages and take-home tips about how to reduce your chances of ending up in an over-medicalized situation when it comes to birth. So stay tuned. Those are really important take-home messages you can work on right now or write down and enlist immediately or tell somebody you know who's pregnant immediately. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit Nordic Naturals. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formulas supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. We've had a great discussion today with Dr. Tanya Howard discussing the slippery slope of medical birth. Please, if you want to learn more about this issue, read Dr. Tanya's latest blog. She's blogging about all sorts of issues related to women's health, overall health, health and wellness, diet, nutrition, a whole bunch of stuff. She runs a phenomenal blog. It's at www.drtania.com. You can also follow her on Facebook. What would that be, Dr. Tanya? How would they follow you on Facebook?
Ask Dr. Tanya, AskDrTania. That's Facebook and Twitter. Ask Dr. Tanya.
Great. Well, thank you for being such a great resource in the community. You're definitely stimulating lots of really good conversation and putting a lot of great information out there for people to educate themselves. So let's talk about in this last segment we've discussed so much in today's show. What are some take-home points that women can incorporate if they're really, you know, if they're going to be in a hospital, but they really want to reduce their chances of having an over-medicalized birth and really getting through this process without the possibility of more procedures?
I have a short list of things that women can do to really increase their chances exponentially of having a natural unmedicated vaginal birth. And you said in hospital, and I'm okay with that, but I hope that your listeners will consider actually delivering in a birth center or at home with a nurse midwife. But hospital births, you know, if you make your intentions clear or your wishes clear, you can be well supported in that, but you have to have a lot of clarity around what you wish to happen. So know where you're going to birth and know their personal C-section rates, both of hospital or birth center or OB or midwife. Ask them directly, how many C-sections do you do? What's your rate and how does that compare to national average? If you're hoping for natural birth and their rate's 40%, I'd say switch your caregiver and or your birthing facility. Also, avoid an inducted birth or a birth that has Pitocin used. 1 out of 4 births are induced with Pitocin. Forget about the myth of a due date. There's a natural window of 38 to 42 weeks that babies can come. So if your OB starts talking about inducing you at 38, 39, or even 40 weeks, I would have a real serious discussion about that. There is no need in a healthy mom with a healthy baby to induce before 42 weeks. So if you avoid induction, you're going to decrease the chance that you'll end up with a cesarean section pretty significantly. You also want to get some prenatal wellness chiropractic care or other structural type of care, like physical therapy that's specifically geared towards aligning mom's pelvis. If baby is allowed to settle down, head down in a key and lock position, you'll, again, have a much greater chance of having a natural vaginal birth. So avoid induction, know your OB and hospital C-section rate, consider birthing in a birth center, and getting prenatal chiropractic care.
Yeah, those are absolutely great tips. And I always recommend, just based on, you know, what I've saw so many times in working with pregnant women and also what I saw, you know, working with obviously my wife and our two babies, the difference that it made when her system and her structure was really, really well aligned previous to birth. So it's really important to make sure that that process, you know, happens. It's a tricky situation getting the baby down a birth canal. There's a lot of things that need to happen. There's a lot of things that the baby has to do, and there's a lot of things that mom's body has to do. And a lot of that is entirely dependent on how that body is lined up, how the pelvis is lined up. It affects the ligaments. It affects the muscles. It affects the nerves. It affects everything, and it can make a huge difference in getting that baby out safely.
and more easily. So, Dr. Tanya, thank you so much for being on the show with us today. Really, really appreciate your time. Again, people can follow Dr. Tanya's blog at www.drtanya.com. That's D-R-T-A-N-I-A. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Dr. Kevin, it's been a real pleasure. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. All right, everybody, that wraps up the show for today. This is Dr. Kevin Passero. I will see you all in a few weeks. Until then, signing out and wishing you all the best of health.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
At UPS, we take two things very seriously, your budget and our planet. It's why we've built one of the largest alternative fuel fleets in the industry. It's why we offer eco-responsible services like carbon-neutral shipping and carbon impact analysis. It's also why businesses trust UPS to provide customized solutions that cut costs and boost productivity. UPS is committed to helping you operate more efficiently and sustainably. Learn more at ups.com/gov.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics, Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com.
AP Radio News. I'm Tim McGuire. The U.S. is helping in the search for that missing Boeing 777.